We have to pull it all together as a patient, not just as a, we're treating this kidney, but we're treating this whole cat and the quality of life and the bond between that cat and that family. And it's a team effort. They're going to bond to you forever.
Welcome to the Sawyer Vet Now What, the podcast. This is a show that serves as your audio mentor in your journey as a veterinarian. And each week, our awesome host, Dr. Mariah McCauley, will be bringing you insightful short-form interviews with happy, successful vets who are eager to share their career and clinical tips to make your life easier. So whether you're a final year vet student or a recent graduate, this podcast is your trusted companion on the pathway to success in veterinary medicine. Over to you, Mo.
Welcome back to So You're a Vet, Now What? I'm your host, Dr. Mariah McCauley. Each week, I am joined by incredible vets who are eager to share the stories of their careers, as well as clinical tips to help you thrive in practice. So whether you are a final year vet student or a recent graduate, this podcast is your virtual mentor on the pathway to success in veterinary medicine. Today on the podcast, I am joined by Dr. Gary Marshall. Gary has spent the majority of his career working in feline-only medicine, and back during COVID was one of the masterminds behind the famous cat class. As a new grad, one of the bigger challenges isn't in knowing the medicine, but how you communicate that knowledge to the client. In this episode, we will be focusing on how to do that with chronic kidney disease in our feline patients. Listen along as Gary walks you through how to develop and confidently communicate the diagnosis and management plan for CKD to your clients. All right, let's jump right into the episode. All right, well, Dr. Gary Marshall, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mariah. It's so great to be here. We've done this a few times, and I love it every time. It's great to catch up with you and hopefully help some of your listeners.
I think so. I'm excited about this summer series because everyone is graduating, they're starting out in practice, and having some really short, like, here's a clear path that you can follow when you're getting some diagnoses in general practice can be really helpful. So today we are talking about feline medicine, everyone's favorite. And so for some of you, that truly is. And for others, I know cats scare you. So hopefully this will be helpful for you guys. But we're talking about our CKD patients, which is chronic kidney disease. And so essentially, let's say you've run some lab work on a cat because they were showing some older age signs, a little bit of PUPD, a little bit of weight loss, a little bit of appetite change, and you get the lab work back, your creatinine, your BUN, your SDMA, they're all up. Phosphorus, a little bit high, but still kind of within normal on the range, and your USG is inappropriate. Let's say it's like 119 at this point. So Gary, like, we're looking at this lab work. We know that there's kidney disease. We're not seeing any other sign of any other diseases. And so we know the medicine. We know roughly what we're supposed to do as new grads, but we don't know how to enact this into action and how to communicate it to the client. So I've come to you. I'm your new grad. I'm showing you the lab work and I'm saying, what do I do next?
Great, great. Yeah, this is a very, very good case. And we see it so much if we're dealing with cats. And all I dealt with for the last 28 years is just cat medicine. And so we see a lot of old cats with kidney degeneration. And I think the first place to start when you were talking about talking with a student or a mentee is setting it up before you have that lab work back. Because like you said, you're kind of expecting this ahead of time. And that's going to be the time when you have even more contact with the owner to kind of set them up for all the stuff about as cats get older, they drink more and all that kind of stuff. And usually the first thing that clients come to me with in that type is, I'm so excited. She drinks all the time. So that's really good, right? And then, so we have to kind of set it up a little bit before we see that lab work about how cat kidneys are different than human kidneys. Cat kidneys are more like sieves. Everything just runs right through them. Human kidneys, when they get old and not working well, everything backs up. And so getting that heads up before we see the lab work, I think is really, really important. Mm-hmm. Once we see that lab work, like you've described, we have a perfect situation where things aren't right with the kidneys. They are getting old. They're not as efficient as they used to be. And I use terms like that as opposed to, you know, azotemia and all these kinds of things. I think they're not as efficient as they used to be. So we need to provide some help to that to make our patient, their loved one, live as long as possible with as good a quality of life. And so we start to try to instill on those, the mentee and the student, how to communicate to the owner that we want, probably with what's going on in these lab work, is that things aren't being filtered out well enough. And that's what the kidneys are supposed to do. And we want to be able to do that better. And if they're not being filtered out, cat doesn't feel good, probably has a headache, probably feels a little bit dehydrated. And so using terms that the owners will understand is like, this is how my cat feels.
Not over-sciencing it.
Yeah. And they're kind of wrapping their head around what's going on with the cat. And so then as you start to talk about how we can correct those, they have a little bit more buy-in. It's like, I want to fix these things. What do I need to do it? As opposed to you just saying, here's six things to take them home and stick a needle under your cat's skin and do this every day and everything's going to be fine. And they're like, forget this. Mm-hmm. This is too much. So if we kind of get them to buy in on why they want this to be better, then they can maybe be a little bit more committed to getting the stuff done. I think another way to decrease guilt in owners is letting them know that there's some cats that the things we want to do, just say no. We have to meet them where they're at. We can't force these things on them because, again, besides improving health, we want to also improve quality of life.
I think you've mentioned a couple really good things, so I'm kind of going to streamline it a little bit more. So essentially, when like that mentee's coming to talk with you, I'm coming to talk with you. And like that first major thing is, how are we going to communicate this to the client? Like, what does kidney disease look like from our science knowledge brain? And how do we turn that into something the client understands? So talking about things like a sieve, a filter, those are going to be things that clients have in their own lives. And they understand how it works, and why water isn't being recycled in their body or something. And so they pee it out, they have to get thirsty, they drink more, they pee it out, the cycle continues. So using those type of things, not over-sciencing the words that we use, is going to be super important to help them, one, feel like they're being talked to on the same level. Because if you have a client that, like, you say everything to, because you're probably talking to them on the phone about this lab work first off. Mm-hmm. And so you might have a client say, well, what does that mean in English? And if that happens, you know that you have gone a little bit over their heads and you need to back up. So figuring out what your spiel is going to be, and it takes time to develop this. This is okay if you're kind of gumbling around the first couple times to figure it out. So figuring out your spiel, and then figuring out how are you going to get the client to buy into it, kind of getting them to understand the why behind the recommendations that you're going to make. And I think in that last thing you mentioned was, which is so important, is yes, you have all these therapies that are at your fingertips, like different oral medications and subcutaneous fluids and special diets. But if the client is unable to do things, like if they are not comfortable giving sub-Q fluids, or that cat is spicy as heck at home, then there are certain things you're just going to not be able to do. And allowing the client to not feel guilt about not being able to do those things is very important. So I think everything you've said kind of can be streamlined down into those little facts.
Are you a new or recent veterinary graduate? If so, listen up, my course, Sawyer Vet Now What, has been put together specifically for you. We focus on the non-clinical skills. Don't tune out. This is not as dull as it sounds, I promise you. In fact, almost every career problem that people face are due to not having well-developed non-clinical skills. The skills that I'm talking about are things like client communication, so you have great relationships with clients. Emotional intelligence, so you've got great relationships with your teammates. Effective negotiation skills, so you can get paid what you are worth. Management of imposter syndrome, and how to build formidable resilience. They're not just skills, they are prerequisites vital for success in financial and emotional well-being. This course serves as an essential stepping stone to your success. So let's take the leap together. I will be your mentor as we go through 12 modules helping you transition from being a student to being a fully rounded professional. Head to www.drdavenichol.com/syav-class to learn more. Now back to the show.
And so as we're continuing to talk to the client and we're on the phone, one thing that's kind of important to remember is it's hard for them to take all this information in all at once. You've had one touch point at the appointment where you're like, I think this is what we're going to find on our lab work. And now you're on the phone call and you're describing all these things. What are some other touch points that new grads can use to provide information to these clients?
That's a really good point, is the overwhelm that can occur. And also, if we're training these mentees, students, to be there and able to take this over when they're a new grad, how to get that all done and also move on, right? Because this is a new thing. They're going to want to talk to you for a long time, ask you tons and tons of questions. And that's all important, but we got to move on sometimes. So I think that overwhelm part is, when we are explaining this, is throwing out a few accomplishable things that we can sort of turn the balance in how those kidneys are going to react to stuff we're doing, and then set that follow-up. Because personally, I don't really care about IRIS stuff. I don't really follow IRIS stuff. I don't give people an IRIS score. I know this doesn't surprise you coming from me, Mariah, right? But I mean, if I tell a person they're IRIS stage two, right?
What does that mean?
What the heck does that mean? Then you got to explain the whole IRIS system to everybody and how it's controversial and blah, blah, blah. And they want to see it get better. And so then the next time you have to talk to them about what's IRIS 1 and all that. And they don't get better from IRIS stage. So then they get disappointed. So if we can say, we would love to see these values, pick the values, creatinine, BUN, that kind of stuff, not going up in the future. If they come down, great. But if they just don't go up, that'd be great. We want to see your cat gaining weight. Those types of things are very, very manageable or very visual to the client. And it gets them to buy into more diagnostics, because it's really, really important, these kidney disease cats. So I usually pick a couple things that we feel like we can accomplish. And some people say, you know, I've been giving my cat glucosamine for years or whatever like that, so I can give my cat stuff, and then we can ramp up some other things. But if not, and it's like, I've never given my cat a pill or done anything to it, then it's like, okay, let's increase fluid in the food. Let's change to canned food. Let's get them on a prescription canned food, see if they'll like it, those types of things. And then maybe some supplements we can add, like a phosphate binder, potassium supplement, those types of things. And then touch base with them and say, let's see you back in, you know, it's not going to change that much too quick, but if everything's going well, see them back in 3 weeks, and then we can touch on those next points. Mm-hmm. Very rarely are they coming to you so changed that it's like, okay, this cat needs to be hospitalized on IV fluids. So it's a turning a boat around a little bit slowly, as opposed to, you know, a major, major thing that we're going to try to change, because that's a whole different situation. And that's not that common in all our clients that we see. That's going to be more the outlier than the everyday we're going to see a kidney degeneration cat that we need to have this conversation with.
And I think a lot of that information, you can then say, you know what, I know this is a lot to take in. Let me send you an email. And I'm going to have a couple links to, say, like Cornell or Vet Partner, because they use a lot of familiar lingo that clients are going to be able to then understand that better. And then they can email you back being like, hey, I know we talked about this, but I have more questions. So I think that's a really good way to kind of get it started. And to be fair, this is the kind of railroad track that you can take for a lot of those chronic diseases. So like hyperthyroidism, diabetes, kidney disease, like in these older cats, this is the same type of process that you're going to follow. So specifically to kidney disease, I feel like we should give these new grads some really good tips that, like, again, we're not taught in vet school. So like one of them I think of is, like, for diet transitions, don't just start it cold. Like, tell these clients to take 2 weeks at least, slowly adding in the new food to the old food, because cats, they don't like change at all. It's one of the hardest things. And I can't tell you how many times I've had a client be like, I fed them the new food and they don't want to eat it. And I'm like, did you just open the can and give it to them? They're like, yeah. I'm like, I wouldn't want to eat it either. So
I will push back just slightly on that in a certain situation where if they're coming in because they're not eating well. Mm. And then we want to give them appetite some options of what to try. And Mirataz, which is a great transdermal appetite stimulant, or others, so they don't have to stuff down their throat. But if they're coming to you because they don't know about kidneys, but all they know is that my cat's throwing up, not eating as well, looks skinnier. And then it's like, okay, we need to try some other things. And sometimes that's all it takes, is like, I was nauseous on that other food. I didn't like it. And now we've given them something to help make them feel a little bit better and some yummy new, you know, prescription diet for kidney degeneration or just a senior diet. And they're like chowing into it. And so there's always a, it depends kind of situation, but you're right. If they're eating really, really well, and then we put a new food down, they're like, what the heck? Forget that. So those are really important for a slow transition.
Yeah. So food diet transition. And also, like, what other kind of tips would you have for these new grads where they're starting to get the process going, but like specific to kidney disease that would really help them and help the client?
Yeah, I think these cats are, again, we're just talking about kidney disease, but typically they may have other issues going on. And so we really have to try to get some information, whether it's with you or whether it's with support staff when they're going in or checking in with them, is like, I think a huge thing is, where are they getting their water? You know, if they have a toddler, if they have a dog or something like that, and the water dish and the food dish are up on top of the dryer, that they have to, you know, negotiate around dirty laundry and get over this and through this door and up on that type of thing. We need to figure that stuff out so we can say, okay, this needs to change. We need like 6 water dishes in different places throughout the house and figure out where the cat wants to drink them and food dishes. We're probably going to have a talk about arthritis and those types of things. And the time when you bond with clients, they will want to ask for you every time as a new grad, is if you show that you're not just trying to, you know, get on to the next one, but if you're bringing up stuff that they may not want to hear about it at that time, but they will think about it when they get home. You know, how's your cat getting around? You know, this or that. And they're saying, oh, it's fine, just slowing down a little bit. But then if you plant that seed, when they get home, they can see that there are other things going on. And we have to pull it all together as a patient, not just as a, we're treating this kidney, but we're treating this whole cat and the quality of life and the bond between that cat and that family. And it's a team effort. They're going to bond to you forever.
That was probably like the biggest tip that you can provide is, again, how do you work together as a team for this patient that both you and the client are, they're in the same room for that specific reason, and showing them that you care deeply about them as much, if not more, than they do about their own cat will help them to be more open to suggestions that you have, allow them to not feel judged when they do come to you with questions, because that's one of the things that I find most frustrating is when a client doesn't feel like they can come to a doctor with questions. But again, that is going to help you guys then have the discussion of, yeah, kidney disease, it doesn't get better, it gets worse, but our goal is to slow down the progression to help them have as good a quality of life as they can for as long as possible. And so from there, you can move past the initial stage of management into the long-term goals of saying, this is how often I want you guys to be coming back for regular lab work as long as everything looks good. Mm-hmm. And these are the kind of things that we could end up adding in as time goes on. So you're signposting about expectations that could be down the road or are going to be down the road. But kidney disease is something you're going to see a lot of in practice. And it's going to take time to get your spiel down. But I find that, I'm in that point in practice where I see CKD, it comes through, I call the lab work, and I can just kind of go into autopilot in my spiel in a way. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot more comfortable than it used to be. Because when you graduate, everything is cumbersome. It feels clunky. You feel like you aren't doing it right. You're missing things. You don't know where to find information. But it comes with time. And hopefully what we've shared today will help to guide you in the right direction. And of course, like, have your mentor or someone that you can call to be like, hey, I think I know what I'm doing, but can I talk through this with you? We'll talk through my plan and to make sure it sounds legit before I go and talk to the client. Like, that is perfectly okay. And we want you guys to do that, especially if this is the first CKD patient that you've seen, because we want to set you up for success. So that's what I would add there.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Perfect. I love all that.
Awesome. Well, you guys, this is short for today. Gary, thank you so much for coming and sharing your years of experience and knowledge. But stay tuned, you guys, because in the coming weeks, we will be having many, many more cases just like this to help walk you through your first 6 to 12 months in practice. All right. Till next time, guys. See ya.
So that's it for another show. Thank you so much to Dr. Mariah and her guests for today's tips. And if you're interested in learning more about what we do to support early stage vets in their careers, then check out my book, Sorry Vet Now What, or non-clinical skills training class of the same name. Until next time, take care.